Here at First Congregational Church of Natick, in the spirit of our theme, From COVID to Community, we will be welcoming back a live performance of our Youth Christmas Pageant in Worship on December 18th. Of course, it wouldn't be on brand for FCC if we didn't have a kooky twist on the traditional nativity story. So we'll look forward to a Harry Potter-inspired Mary Potter and the Manger of Magnificence. As proof of our open and warm welcome to all, we'll even enthusiastically embrace shepherds herding their adorable flocks of spiders. Now, the welcome team wants to pack this place in celebration of Christmas and in celebration of our young actors, so we are offering you a treat and a challenge. At 9:30 a.m., before the December 18th worship service, we'll be serving up a hearty continental breakfast in the vestry. Did you catch that? Free breakfast and a show beginning at 9:30 on December 18th. Now, here's the challenge. We'd love to share the good news of Christmas, Sorting Hat, herds of spiders, Hagriel, the giant angel dude, and all, with the wider community. So we are challenging every FCC household to extend an invitation to two other households for, yes, a free, fun, and festive breakfast and our not-to-be-missed pageant. Will you accept this mission? Will you bring a friend to Bethlehem and breakfast? Will you?
Yes!
Great! So please be sure to take two printed invitations as you leave the sanctuary today. Now, here's the catch, and the dad that lives at my house is very worried about this step. You will fill out your contact information in the middle of the invitation so that your friends will know who is inviting them to join us. Does that make sense? He's really worried. Your contact information here on the blanks, okay? And then you will hand deliver or mail those two invitations to two acquaintances who might be up for some food and fun FCC style. Got it? Great. Now, in the words of Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, there are some things you can't share without ending up liking each other. Now, she was talking about a mission to take down an evil giant troll, but FCC is one of those things, too, so please share the good news.
Are there any more? If you have any prayer requests, you can email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you can write your prayer requests or celebration on a card in the pew and give it to an usher, or when asked, you can say it out loud. Anyone is welcome to the playground over there, where they will find age-appropriate worship materials, and we'd like thank you to all the Christmas elves who helped in the decorations here. You can see them all around.
Okay. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Christ is coming.
We place our hope in the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the infant lowly.
Can you see it? Can you smell it? Christ is coming.
We place our home in a homeless Middle Eastern child born in poverty.
Can you taste it? Can you sense it? Christ is coming. Come, friends, the season of Advent begins. We gather to worship Emmanuel, God with us. And please rise in body and spirit for the hymn. may be seated. And please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, "When, O God, will the day of peace come? When will the nations stream to your holy mountain and beat their swords into plowshares? When will the long night of war and hatred give way to the dawn of love, righteousness, and joy? We are ready for the dawn, O God. Shine your light into our world, mighty one of peace. Illuminate the path and give us the wisdom and courage to follow your light. We pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen." Klassen family will now do our Advent wreath lighting.
So we're less one child, but we gained two adults, so it all balances out, I think. We gather around the Advent wreath to name abandoned hope, broken peace, lost joy, and the love unchosen in our world and our time, and to claim that this candle symbolizes a light more true, more powerful, more faithful than all of these. We light the candle of hope in the face of serious cancer, reckless damage to creation, deportations into danger. God's hope brightens doubt and hopelessness and shows us the more than this.
Emmanuel, God with us, when we leave this place, light this hope on the wick of our lives so that we may brighten the world. Amen.
Because it is so hard to wait, it's not easy to live through Advent's days. But watch what God does during this time. God waits for us to turn from our old ways to find the right paths. God waits for us to admit what we have done and failed to do so we might be forgiven and graced with new life, first in silent prayer. Join me in the prayer of confession. God, we are ready now. We want peace now. We long to receive the Prince of Peace in our world today. But don't delay too long, Holy One, for soon we'll be busy with parties and decorating and baking and shopping. Our lives are crammed so full, we find it hard to calendar you in. Find it hard to locate the time to welcome the light of the world. We need your help, O God. Teach us to set aside our party wardrobes and clothe ourselves in Jesus Christ. Guide us into true readiness, even though we do not know the date and time when true peace will reign. Wake us up. Shake off the cobwebs of our complacency and take us with you on the path up your holy mountain. Plant your peace within us so that each day, each moment, we may be ready for the harvest of your love. Amen. Okay. It says to read with feeling, because this is great news. So friends, siblings, children of God, hear the good news. The light of God's love shines brightly. The invitation is given to each one of us. Come, walk in the light. Amen.
At this time in our service, you're invited to greet others with the peace of Christ. And I'm not sure what the tradition is in this church. If you do that with a handshake, if you do that with a hug, or if you do that with a non-contact blessing, whatever you do, share the peace of Christ one with the other.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Your choir may not be many, but they have a nice sound.
Peace
be with you. Peace be with you.
I'm in your way.
We shall walk
At this time, I'm inviting, and I guess they already know, that those through grade six are invited to go to a time of godly play. As we come to worship on a Sunday morning, we have our time of offering. It begins with an acknowledgement of the blessings of God that are in our lives. We've just been through Thanksgiving, that one time of the year when we think it's okay to say thank you. No, today we can say thank you again for the blessings of life, for the blessings in this congregation, for all the blessings that we can acknowledge and share that with the gift of others. Let us receive our offering for today. I invite you to join together in our prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you for the wake-up call, reminding us to be ready. Thank you for not giving up on your vision of peace. Thank you for the opportunity to gather each week here, that we might encourage one another to stay on your path. And thank you for the opportunity to give these gifts for your ministry, that together we might help the world be ready to receive the Prince of Peace, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Okay, the scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Amen.
I'd like to begin this morning by telling a story that happened in a former church where I had served, and it involved a bush outside of my office window. It was a burning bush, which meant late in the season it would turn bright red. And yet, one fall, it started wilting, and it was dying back. And I sought the opinion of several of our skilled gardeners at the church to find out, is there anything we should do? And they said, really, all you can do is trim back the dead parts, but maybe we'll take a shoot off of it and start a sucker plant in the ground. Several years later, I would stand at the same window and look out and see all the other plants in the garden area wilting back as the temperatures would drop. And there was the burning bush, bright red, off from the new shoot. Yes. And I'm going to explain to you that I'm really not going to focus on Isaiah chapter 2. I've done this long enough that I change my mind periodically. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11, but I'm not going to read it for you. But it involves the text, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Some of you, I'm sure, have been to the Art Museum in Worcester. They have on display there a very famous painting. It involves the work of Edward Hicks, a Quaker preacher in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, who painted between 1816 and 1849. The painting is called The Peaceable Kingdom. That's one rendition. Yes, it was drawn from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11. He was attracted to the text and the message of peace and of hope. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. It was thought that Hicks had painted the peaceable kingdom, that scene in various renditions over 100 times over a 30-year period. And since he was a Quaker preacher, he was permitted to earn outside income, because as a Quaker, you did not earn income from the position. And so the paintings, which he sold to many in the market, supported his large family. And although the lamb is always at the center of the picture, beside the goat, there's a calf and the young lion walking together and a small child leading them. But in the left background, in many of the versions, you'll see a gathering of people. It's meant to be William Penn, the founder of Hicks, home state of Pennsylvania, a leader in the Quaker Church, landing in the New World and signing a peace treaty in 1662 with those Native Americans that were there before. Today, this text from Prophet Isaiah presents a vision, a great vision of one of the most enduring expressions of hope and of peace for all the world. The prophetic utterance of a shoot coming from the stump of Jesse, bringing in the reign of God, an ideal king within the image of David. This is the only passage in the Bible that refers to the divinic lineage by the name of David's father, Jesse. The prophet describes a new leadership where they'll be back in Zion, meaning Jerusalem. And by the 11th chapter, they're no longer in Jerusalem. That gives a spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, and a fear of the Lord. And the heart of the oracle that is presented by Isaiah, interestingly enough, does not portray an ideal ruler in the typical sense. No, it's a depiction of a harmonious state of nature itself. The image is a combination of opposites: the peaceable existence of the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the small goat, the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear, and the ox and the lion, and the child with the serpent, the snake. The prophet offers his vision to the people of Israel at a time when things were really very difficult. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen. The threats from the Assyrians were all around them. And some of the cruelest and most vengeful people were at hand. And God sends a messenger, the prophet Isaiah, with a vision, the promise that peace will be achieved by God's ideal ruler in what we have come to call the eschatology, the end days of God's plan, the time of salvation. This is the prophet's longing for the peaceable kingdom under God's reign. Why does God offer this sense of peace and a future vision? The prophet Isaiah stresses the relationship between justice and mercy, between peace and the harmony of the world. All of it found in the natural order of creation. Yes, these verses have a presupposition that the world itself is good, and it can be better. There is a message that there will come a day when the world will be a safe place for all of God's creations. It's a vision of the peaceable kingdom and a reason to hope. How will this appear? How will this vision come to be? Will the vision become real through a new regiment of leadership as a shoot out of the stump of Jesse? Not from a warrior king or a conquering army. That's not the vision, but from a fragile sprout, a small child. Now we read the prophecy, in our eyes anyway, through Christian eyes, and know that this shoot can be the intended version of Jesus, the Christ, the one who was to be born in the city of David. This Advent, yes, we're beginning that journey. We're led to the same vision. God is continuing to act in our world despite all that is happening. And it's not a time to concede with hopelessness. We've heard the good news. We're coming to hear it again in the nativity of Jesus. We've known the redeeming love for our lives, so that we can now share that love with others throughout the world. It's a reason to hope. Yes, it's a promise of things to come. In the midst of all the evil and the unrest, what we might call our political insurrections, we are certainly led to believe that the perpetrators will be stopped. On the surface, there's nothing more anyone else of us can do except hope. These recent months have been fearful and challenging for all of us. And they've been like none other in our lifetimes. Based on what we know today, we are hopeful. Hopeful that there is leadership in our president and in the other leaders that can see that vision of the peaceable kingdom. And yet I'm among others who do have some sense of fear of the future encounters with those who act out a sense of hatred that is very genuine to them. It's painful when it is perpetrated. And yet we remain longing for that vision from Isaiah. The vision of a peaceable kingdom and the promise of hope. There's an absolutely arresting story that we happened to share in a number of years ago. Lest innocent blood be shed, by a sociologist, Philip Haley. He spoke at our church when we were in Cleveland Heights and shared the detail of the World War II story of the tiny town of less than 3,000 people, Le Charbon-sur-Lagan. Picture a time during World War II when the Vichy leadership had tried to compromise with the German army. And in this, the small French Huguenot town, the people refused to cooperate with the Vichy government, and they saved and gave life to an estimated 5,000 Jewish children and adults under the very noses of the Gestapo. Those in the small French town were driven by a vision of peace, a reason for hope, a vision of the peaceable kingdom. For you and this First Congregational Church, you are a part of the vision that is enacted in this community and in your neighborhoods. You know the story of the Messiah as it has changed lives. Now you too share the power in your homes within the realm of your own influence. Whatever may happen at some future point, it is clear that God now includes all of us as responsible parties within that vision. In a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the Prince of Peace, and we're going to be renewed in doing whatever we can to bring in the peaceable kingdom here in this community. And how do you become a significant participant in that hope? Well, I'm guessing a number of you have made a pledge commitments for this coming year. Your pastor would be glad I mentioned that. It's how you strengthen the ministry of this church. We also make special contributions through the holiday season to lots of community agencies that do their work for others. We seek to, in our own way, to find justice where the systems sometimes have dramatically failed youth as well as others. We seek to provide assistance and support for the LGBTQ community and the trans community. Yes, those who are members of the church, but members of our community as well. And we are prepared to hear again the proclamation that all are gifted as a part of the shoot of the emerging stump of Jesse. This Advent season is helping us to again dream and to envision God's plan for the peaceable kingdom. Now, I have to include this story today because my son is here. He's an anthropologist. Lauren Isley was an anthropologist. Many of us have read about him. The other day, I was talking to someone who had him as a professor. In 1969, he wrote the text, Unexpected Universe. And he shared in there a story, a haunting story, about the star thrower. Many of you may remember that. He talks about walking on the beach, littered with debris, dead debris of life itself, that comes in with the tide and stays on the beach and dies. And along the wet strip of sand that marks that ebbing and flowing of the tides, death itself makes itself known in the many forms. Creatures cannot fight their way through the surf, which has cast them and brought them up onto the shore. The tiny breathing spores of the starfish become stuffed with sand as the rising sun shrinks their body, and they're unprotected, leading to death. But there on the beach, it's an endless war in its soundless behavior. Nothing screams except the gulls. And there ahead, he sees a young boy. Yes, he's scooping down and picking up a starfish. The young man says to him, "It's still alive." And yet, with a gentle movement, he picks up that starfish and spins it far out into the sea and says, "It may live," he said. "If the offshore pull is strong enough, the starfish will be well." One person can help them live. So they went along the beach, stooping down and picking up half-dead starfish, throwing them back into the sea in the hope that they might live again. In our way, we can act as starfish throwers. Yes, we can do our small part in the peaceable kingdom that transforms us. We literally can make a difference. We can make a difference with the people we meet this week, with the actions maybe for the town leaders of Natick, with the efforts of our nation to protect and honor all of human creation. Yes, for the stewardship of our world and all that God has given us. And we may be just one, but one person can make a difference. And there is reason to hope. Amen. As we come this morning, you have passed along some of your special prayer concerns, but there may be others, and if you will say them loud enough, I'll try to hear them as well as others. Do you have any special prayer concerns this morning? Wonderful. This is our prayer. I'm not hearing all that, but this is our prayer. Okay, let us join together in prayer. Dear God, how does it happen in this poor world that you are so great and yet so few find you? That you call so loudly and people don't hear? That you are so near and nobody feels you? That you give yourself to everyone and nobody knows your name? We do our share of fleeing from you. We turn our backs and say, "We don't see." We close our ears and we cannot hear. We pray this morning that you will help us to truly know your presence and to somehow refocus our energies as we seek to be your faithful people. There is so much in life that measures us, that compares us with others, that controls us by telling us we aren't good enough. But you, O God, go beyond these judgments, for through Jesus Christ you have come to us and revealed yourself in a way that tells us you love us, that we are loved. Help us to remember, even in this Advent season, that we are Easter people, that we belong to the company of the redeemed, that you've acted to save us and to save our whole world. Help us to remember that because of Jesus Christ, you count us worthy to come into your presence and to walk with you in all of life. We pray this morning that you will be with those of this church family as they seek your healing presence, as they request your comfort and support, as they search for new life and hope. Help us to be agents of Christ's gospel in the world. Help us to honor you in our own decision making. Help us to be faithful disciples that you know we are capable of becoming. And let us now pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's join together and sing the hymn, People, Look East. Let us go forth into the world of peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good and render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, heal the afflicted, honor and serve all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be and abide with you and those whom we love this whole world over. Amen.